Blog Talk Radio.
Da, 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 da. I was meant to fly. Oh, 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 oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
Now that I know that I was meant to play.
Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think, visit www.hyhradio.com. Although there are less people getting married today than maybe 20 years ago, the divorce rates continue to get higher. There are many single parent households than ever before. Even married or unmarried, many couples are simply unhappy. My guest today, Dr. Shirley Boone Sanford, is a licensed psychologist and a life, career, and relationship coach. She joins us today to discuss building a healthy relationship. Dr. Boone Sanford, I would like to welcome my guest. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, Yvonne. How are you today?
I'm good. I have a lot of questions, but before I start, I wanted to, as I mentioned in the beginning, I mentioned briefly what you do. Could you give us a little synopsis, I guess, of your professional background?
Well, as you said, I'm a licensed psychologist. I have a private practice in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. I earned my doctorate, my master's, and my doctorate from Southern Illinois University, and I've been helping individuals live more satisfying and rewarding lives through therapy and coaching for over 12 years. I especially enjoy working with couples and adults with relationship issues.
Okay. Dr. Boone Sanford, what is an unhealthy relationship? What does that look like?
Well, I think an unhealthy relationship is a relationship wherein the individuals are not happy. They are unable to communicate in an effective manner. They are unable to resolve conflict in an effective manner. They don't listen to each other. They may even be abusive to each other. It's just not working for either one of them. One or both are unhappy, and I say one or both, because you can have a relationship wherein one person is fine, but it's a relationship, which implies that more than one person is involved. And so if one person is unhappy, then sooner or later both individuals will be unhappy, because that one person will do or say or behave in such a way that the other individual involved will also become unhappy. So I think an unhealthy relationship is a relationship that is just not working.
Okay. In relationships, of course, you have two people coming from different backgrounds, upbringings, their viewpoint on various things are different, and their expectations even on what a relationship should be varies. In many cases, this could cause conflicts and arguments. What would be a And it would be unrealistic to think that everything is going to be a walk in the park and that there won't be any disagreements. However, how do we communicate our differences with less arguing?
Well, I think that's a good question. And before I get to that, Yvonne, I'd like to say a couple of things about a healthy relationship.
Okay.
We kind of said what is an unhealthy relationship, but let's look at some of the components that make a healthy relationship. And the reason I think this is important is because a number of individuals, depending on their background, where they came from, what they were exposed to in regards to relationships as children, we're unable to pinpoint or know when we're in an unhealthy relationship. And what I mean by that is we get so used to, I'm trying to stay away from saying dysfunctional, but we get so used to relationships wherein there is some type of dysfunction going on that we don't realize that that type of dysfunction is not healthy. It's not conducive to a healthy or successful relationship. And we just kind of take it in our stride, and we struggle with it, and we never quite understand why this relationship, why we're not happy, or why, or the reason that things don't go smoothly, because we haven't realized that there are some things going on that these things are not conducive to a healthy relationship. One of the things that a component of a healthy relationship is a relationship where two individuals are committed to each other and to the relationship.
Okay.
And I say committed because there's no happily ever after. Relationships take hard work and determination and commitment. I mean, it's easy today, especially in today's world, to walk away when there's an issue, when there's a problem. Divorce is so easy, it's easy for us to walk away. And I think a number of individuals, rather than trying to work on the relationship, will walk away because it's the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
A healthy relationship also has love and friendship, and I think that is very, very important because at the beginning stages of a relationship, we're all feeling this, I guess, this fairy tale kind of thing. It's, oh, we're in love and everything is wonderful, and we see this person through rose-colored glasses.
Right.
And they're almost perfect. Or they're just so physically attractive that we can't live without them. However, individuals don't remain physically the way they were when we met them. You know, 36, 24, 36 doesn't stay 36, 24, 36.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens. And that's when friendship and genuine love are important because you're going to wake up one day and that person's not going to look the same. And that person's not going to be the same because they're going to grow. As life changes, they will also change.
Right. And two, I wanted to add to that. Two, in a relationship, you have them going through personal issues that are brought into the relationship. And in the beginning, you don't really show that because you're trying to put your best foot forward. So
exactly.
I think that a lot of people are blinded, I guess, in the beginning to the flaws because we all have them. But once that honeymoon stage is over and the characters start coming out, I think, it, like you said, too, a lot of people are adapted or quicker to run.
Well, I think, you said that sometimes we all put our best foot forward, and we do, but one of the things that is happening today, I mean, earlier you mentioned people are taking longer to get married. That's true. But people are also dating longer. I mean, I dated my husband, well, we met when I was in graduate school, but we dated for almost 6 years, almost seven, actually, before we got married. And so, to be honest, I knew him pretty well. And even now, when issues come up in our relationship, I can't say that this is new. Because in my mind, I can remember when we were dating, and this was the same thing. But maybe, as for me, I was in graduate school when I met my husband. And so I was focused on graduate school. When I got out of graduate school, I was focused on getting my training and my license to do what I do. And so I can look back and see issues then, but I was so busy with other things that I didn't focus on them or I glossed over them. And so sometimes when individuals come in to talk to me and they say things like, he wasn't like this before, she wasn't like this before, I ask them to take a brief moment, really, and to look back and be honest with themselves, to say, based on their recollections, whether or not these were issues before. Because this person has not changed. I mean, not the core of who they are. They've not changed. And those things were there before. Maybe for some of us, we think we can change them. For some of us, we think they will change. Or sometimes we think they won't make a difference. They won't be that important. But they do become important. And that's where another component of a healthy relationship comes in. Well, I guess a couple of components of healthy relationships. Number one, to be able to communicate and really understand each other. That's really, really important because we can communicate. But true communication also includes understanding. It doesn't just include hearing, but understanding. Not only understanding what they're saying, but understanding what they mean. I think a good example of that is with children. Oftentimes children don't have the vocabulary or the cognitive abilities to talk abstractly about their emotions, but they can say some really simple things that if you listen, you hear the emotion behind it. The same skills we take with our children, we have to take with our spouse, to really listen and understand what they're saying, to be able to communicate, to be able to negotiate and compromise. Okay? Negotiate and compromise means that sometimes you won't get everything that you want, that you give a little and they give a little, and you meet in the middle sometimes. And negotiation is about what are you willing to give up to make this relationship work. That's where the commitment comes in. What am I willing to give up in the best interest of this relationship or in the best interest of my partner? Okay? Negotiation and compromise, communication and understanding help us be able to resolve conflict.
What are some major reasons that you think relationships fail? I think you kind of touched on some of it earlier. But what are some major reasons why relationships fail?
Well, I think, like I said earlier, some of the reasons that relationships fail is it's so easy to leave.
Uh-huh.
I mean, divorce is so easy now that rather than work on a relationship, sometimes we just leave. I also think there's not, in some instances, there's not the same level of commitment that I think maybe our parents or our grandparents had before us. Wherein, you know, you got married and you stayed married, no matter what.
Right.
Now we can get married, and in our mind, we know, sometimes even entering marriages, we're in our second or third relationship, so we know we can leave. If
right.
something comes up that we don't like, we can leave.
Instead of working it out, yeah.
Exactly, and one of the things I tell people sometimes when they come in and they talk to me about whatever reason, especially premarital, when they're talking premarital, it's very easy to have this big, elaborate wedding. That is just spending money. But you bring a couple into me who's been married 20 years, then I have much, much respect for them because I know they've worked really hard to be able to maintain for 20 years.
Yeah.
I also think we come in with unrealistic expectations. Maybe some people in our first marriage, or for those of us who have only been in one, we have unrealistic expectations. We somehow internalize that fairy tale, that happily ever after. And it's hard not to because that's what we all grow up with. You know, happily ever after, things work out. It's just magic. It's not magic. It's a lot of work. It's commitment. It's learning how to communicate. If you grew up in a family where communication was not healthy,
uh-huh.
It's learning how to resolve conflict. If you grew up in a place where conflict was never resolved, it's learning how to compromise and negotiate. It's learning how to truly accept your partner for who they are and where they are. I think those are parts of it. Sometimes we talk about people growing apart, and sometimes that does happen. But like I said, if you really communicate with your partner and understand your partner, then you both are going to grow. And if you're able to communicate and do some of the things that I talked about, communicate, understand, compromise, negotiate, then you will grow together rather than growing apart. It's when people grow apart or one person grows and the other person does not that issues pop up in relationships.
Now, also, I think you can, touch on this too, but I think a lot of people, when they get in relationships, they look for the other person to make them happy. And I think mostly women that I know are focused so much on a relationship and the family that they forget about themselves. Sometimes they feel like it's selfish for them to, and I've been guilty of that too. I feel like it's selfish. I don't feel that way now, but felt like it was selfish for me to focus on me. But in the end, if you don't work on you and if you don't figure out things that make you happy as an individual, it affects everything. It affects the whole household.
I think you're right. I think a number of women feel that way just because we grow up in a culture where we're kind of taught to put others before us. You know, we're nurturers. We take care of people. And so when we have people that we care about, when we have people that we love, meaning our spouses, our partners, our children, we feel like it's our responsibility to take care of them and to make sure that they're happy. And frequently that means that we get really, really busy and we get really involved in our relationship, in our children's lives, in the demands and responsibilities of that, that we forget about ourselves and our own needs. And you're absolutely right. You have to take care of yourself. One of the examples that my partner always uses is if you ever fly, and you know at the beginning of the flight, when the flight attendant is talking to you about the air mask, what she says is that when it drops down, you put it on yourself first. And you put it on yourself first because if you cannot breathe, you cannot help anyone else.
Right.
And so the same analogy applies to life. If you do not take care of you, then you can't take care of anyone else.
Right.
I mean, if you're tired, if you're depressed, if you're irritable, you're not going to be able to be the best that you can with anyone else and do the best that you can to take care of your children or to take care of your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So taking care of you, and this is how I revise it for a lot of women, taking care of you is taking care of them.
Yeah. Now, I know with in a lot of relationships, it's an issue of trust. How do we build trust, or if the trust has been broken in that relationship, how do we begin to rebuild the trust?
I think trust is a very important component of a stable relationship. Relationships, it's so important that relationships with love, but without trust, are usually unstable. It's like you've got a table with three legs. I mean, it's standing, but it's kind of wobbly. And a relationship without trust will break down really easily. The development of trust, it's a really slow process, especially if it's been broken down. If there was trust there initially and something happened and the trust was lost, you've got to realize it's going to take time to build that trust back up. And the person that broke down the trust, they've got to work really, really hard to reestablish that trust. Trust is about being honest, okay? And I mean not omitting things or neglecting things. Is about being honest. I mean, you can be honest also and be tactful. I'm not saying be brutally honest, but I'm saying, you know, the essence is you've got to be honest and you've got to be consistent with the honesty. To build trust, you've got to be reliable. And you've got to be dependable. I've got to know that you're going to be there for me when I
right.
need you to be there for me. I've got to know that you're going to honor our relationship and that you're going to respect me and respect our relationship consistently. Okay? I've got to be able to be vulnerable with you. That means I've got to be able to make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And know that you're not going to use those mistakes against me.
Right.
Okay? I've got to be able to, like I said, be weak with you. And weak is not a good word. I think vulnerable is more appropriate than weak.
Yeah.
I've got to be able to, you know, be vulnerable with you and know that you're going to be there for me and you're not going to use that against me. That's how we build trust. It's just being honest, being consistent, being reliable and dependable, respecting and honoring your partner as well as your relationship. That's how trust is established. And when it's been broken, you've got to consistently do those kinds of things because you got to know that if you're the partner that broke the trust, it's going to take a minute for that trust to be reestablished again.
In some cases, Dr. Sanford, like I've been in, me and my might as well say husband. We've been together almost 10 years, 10 years in August. I'll speak for me, coming into a relationship, I came in broken. Mm-hmm. I came in with walls up. I came in untrusting because of previous. Now, even if you're in a relationship and that party didn't do anything to make you not trust them, but how do you eliminate, I mean, how do you, you build the trust back for, in general, not just the part, because like I said, my trust issues in the beginning of the relationship were based on previous relationships. So how do someone, is it, should they take time, a certain amount of time before they enter into another relationship, take time to heal, or what do they do before entering into the relationship where they can come in fresh?
Well, I think you said something really important. Do they take time? I think, yes, they do take time. Because, as you said, you are coming in broken. I think you have to be honest. If you are in a relationship, then you have to be honest with the other person. And you have to kind of own what is yours. Realize
right.
that you have an issue with trust. And be willing to take a look at that at every stance. Is it that the person is really doing something that's not trustworthy? Or is it that your past is coloring the situation and making either it worse or creating a situation? And what you have to do as an individual who realizes they have an issue with that is you've got to work on it. And you might want to seek individual therapy because then it's your issue. I mean, and you bring into a relationship, which makes it a relationship issue, but it's coming from you. You are the source.
Right.
And as the source, it's hard to see clearly. Like I said, it could be, there could be, truly, there could be an issue with trust, but because you have a history, are you magnifying it so big that it's almost, you're not able to overcome it?
It stems into fear. Mm-hmm. I think it stems more into fear too of the previous hurt. Fear that this person will hurt you too.
Well, you gotta go and work to kinda heal that previous hurt.
Right. Which brings me to my next question. I wanted to ask, when do you know it's time to walk away or seek counseling? How do you know which one? Do I walk away or does this relationship just simply need counseling?
I think that's an individual decision, and it really depends on the situation and the individuals involved.
Okay.
Like I said, if you realize that there's something going on with you, then you should seek individual counseling, or you should decide to work on what's going on with you to see if it will improve the situation. And again, it gets very specific to the situation. There's some instances where, and maybe you've tried counseling and you've tried working on yourself, and the other individual is just really not being helpful or not wanting to work or is not committed to the relationship. Then you might look at it and decide, okay, maybe it's time for me to move on. But I think if there's a commitment there and you have truly worked on yourself and your issues, then the relationship will change. Because relationships are like a circle, I always say. And a circle can be broken at any point, meaning that if you have issues or if you're even doing things within the relationship, because remember, the relationship takes two people. And so if a relationship is not working, that means two people need to work to improve it. But if one person is working and the other person's not quite there yet, then if you as an individual who is aware that there's a situation going on that you want changed, if you decide that you want to work on you and to do some things differently that might help the relationship, then sooner or later your partner is going to start doing something different too, because they're going to have to do something different in reaction to you because you're not being the same. It's hard to be the same or to maintain the same situation when something's changed.
Right.
And so they'll start to change. I mean, I've worked in situations or with individuals where there are issues in the relationship with their partner, but we've worked on their particular stuff and what they're doing in the relationship. And when they started to change and start to be different, and their spouses also start to change and start to be different, and it creates a an improvement in the relationship. But I'm thinking the commitment to the relationship needs to be there. Now, if the commitment to the relationship is not there, then you might want to reevaluate the situation and decide whether or not you want to walk away.
If someone, let's say someone is listening and they're having a problem in their relationship, what are some basic things they can start, begin to do to restore their relationship? Some basic things they can start implementing in their relationship to start restoring it.
Now, what did you say in the beginning? If someone is
listening and okay. they're going through problems right now, what is something basic they can start doing to start rebuilding their relationship?
I think one of the most important things they can do is take a step back and try to be honest with themselves and objectively look at themselves to see what is it they're doing to help maintain whatever the situation is that's detrimental to their relationship. Once they do that, commit to themselves to work on whatever they're doing that might be contributing to the situation, and to have an honest and genuine conversation with their partner about the situation and about how they would like it to be different, and talk to the partner about whether or not they think they might need some additional help. If it's something that they know that they could work on, and their partner decides that they don't want to seek additional help, then they might want to do it on their own. Because I think one of the most important things that sometimes that keeps people from having a better relationship is not, as I said earlier, not realizing that there are issues. So sometimes people don't realize that what's going on is inappropriate. And that's where, again, if you know that there's something you're doing to maintain it, that if you start to be different, then they'll start to be different. But also not realizing that it's okay to seek help. Because people tend to think that counseling is, that means there's something wrong with me. And it's no different than realizing that, hey, maybe I'm stuck in this situation and I can't move forward from here. Maybe I can't see everything that's going on. Someone who's not involved, they can see where, you know, maybe some things need to be different. And the thing that you have to realize is that psychologists or counselors or marriage and family therapists, you know, we're trained to see these things. And we're trained to see where they're coming from or where they may have originated and to kind of help you move forward from that place. So that's probably how we're different from your friend or just somebody that you know who you might sit down and talk to. And the other thing to realize is that counseling and therapy are confidential, meaning that nothing that you say will leave that room unless you give them permission for it to leave that room. It's so confidential that the fact that you walk into a counselor or a psychologist's office is confidential. If someone calls, even your doctor, let's say you told your doctor that you've seen someone, and they want to call and speak to your counselor or therapist because they know that they have information that might be helpful or they have some concerns. If someone calls and says, "Are you seeing?" then confidentiality starts right there. I could not say yes. I'd have to turn them away because I don't have permission to say that.
Right.
You know, it's really a confidential situation. One of the things that they can start doing, I guess a couple of things, like I say, be honest and look at themselves. Start to be honest in their communication with their spouse. Start to try to compromise and negotiate. Start to try to really listen and understand. Be a true friend. This is an example I also use frequently in my practice. When we are one way with our friends, I mean, you know, with your girlfriends, you're one way.
Right.
You can have arguments, you can have disagreements, you forgive them and you move on.
Right.
We don't tend to do that with our partners.
Right.
So I tell them, treat your partner like your friend. Actually, your partner should be your best friend.
Yeah,
I agree with that. You should treat them in the same way that you would treat one of your best friends. And if you start to treat them that way, you know, your relationship will improve drastically.
I absolutely agree, and that's one thing we started to do, and that really, really helped. It actually changed the way we viewed the whole relationship once we saw each other as best friends. I wanted to... also, you have a blog talk radio show that you host?
Oh, my partner and I, Dr. Deirdre Bell Montgomery and I, we do a blog talk radio show for parents. It's called Parenting in, it's called A New Village, Parenting in the New Millennium. And we talk about being parents and I guess just being the best parents that we can with our children.
Uh-huh.
And that's at, like you said, Blog Talk is www.blogtalkradio/anewvillage. And I always forget the last part. .com. But if you go to Blog
Talk, I'll put it on the
where, A New
on
Village.
The blog too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Also, what other types of services do you offer?
As you said in the beginning, we do individual therapy. We do individual and group therapy, and including couples therapy, which is for couples who are married or couples who are just in a committed relationship. We also do premarital counseling for couples who are planning to get married, who want to address some of these issues before they get married. Like I said, we do that in individual and group. We do life coaching, parent coaching, and career coaching.
Uh-huh.
And we do parent training workshops.
Wow. How can they find out more information about what you do and your service and the services that you offer?
Okay. Well, you can go to, I have my own individual website, which is www.heal, H-E-A-L, grow, G-R-O-W, empower, empower.com. That's www.healgrowempower.com. You can also go to my website with my partner, Dr. Montgomery. We have our own practice, which is called Integrated Psychological Services, and you can visit us at www.integratedintegratedpsychservices.com. So www.integratedpsychservices.com. Or you can call our office at 678-205-0800.
I'm going to also add all that information on the blog.
I appreciate it.
But I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. I think it was very insightful, and I hope that the listeners got out of it what I did. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and I truly do hope that I did make a difference to someone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank the listeners for joining us today on the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to just let us know what you think about the show, and to also you can check out previous shows, visit www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you're blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no. I was meant to fly over hills and mountains, over lakes and valleys. I was meant to fly. I was meant to fly.